Here we go. Thanks for sticking it out. So why is this important that you know that we relate to a movement of churches, a network of churches, partner with Advance? What do you do when you go and you buy a really expensive piece of equipment? I'm not talking about your dollar store purchases, because you don't really care if something doesn't work. You're like, ah, it cost me $3, cost me $6, cost me $1. But if you invest a lot of money, a lot of your resources, what are some of the things that you look for in a product? Hey? Yeah, that it works, that's a good one, absolutely. Hey? Good reviews, absolutely. So you want to know if there's a community of people that are making use of this product. And that's what I do. I bought a new pair of running shoes on Thursday. It took me about 2 weeks to make the decision. And in the store, I still opened up my iPad and I said, just give me a few seconds. And I went on and read some reviews in front of the salesperson just to make sure that what they're telling me is what others are saying. So absolutely, that's a good one. Another a good history, a warranty, absolutely. Is there great support? Is there something I can fall back on? Like if this thing does break, who do I call? Hey, is there some other things you want to throw out? Hey? A name brand, absolutely. Do other people know about this brand? You know? I can tell everybody, yeah, I bought a pair of Brooks. Everybody's like, Brooks, what's Brooks? I've never heard of Brooks before in my life. Brooks only make running shoes. Exactly, yeah. I don't know what he bought. Well, I know it was $38. I didn't spend $38 on mine. We'll see if... Have you read any reviews about those walking shoes online? Yeah, you see, he went for the dollar store budget purses. He only needs it for 1 weekend in Quebec, and then he'll throw them away. But I guess you also want to see, do they have a footprint, an international footprint? Like, you know, are they only Canadian-based, or are they American-based? Do they have Canadian offices? If it's made in China, do they have somebody in Canada that I can speak to? Those are all of the questions that you ask when you take a significant amount of resources and you put it into a product. It's the same with churches. It's really, we're not an independent church. Maybe, I mean, it sounds like we're independent because we're not denominational, but we're not independent in that we have no strong ties and connections with a wider group of churches. And so we're interdependent like that, and Advance is the primary relationship that we have. We have secondary relationships. We have a great network of pastors in the Ajax Pickering area that meet together every second week for most of the year to pray and to support one another. Those are our secondary relationships, but they come from every flavor of church. We have Presbyterians, we have Baptists, we have Independents, we have Pentecostals, and we all come together under the name of Jesus, pray and support one another. Those are secondary relationships, but primary relationships, in other words, the things that we would choose over that, are the partnerships that we have with Advance. If you want to check them out, you can obviously go online, advancemovement.com. And a lot of the values and some of the things that I'll be sharing with you today will be outlined over there. But that's why it's important. Advance is a young movement. I don't have time to give you all the details, but it's been a real privilege to be part of this movement from its infancy about 5 years ago. P.J. Smythe, who led the church, the network of churches in Johannesburg, of which I led one of the congregations, it was his initiative. He was commissioned by another movement that he was a part of, together with 11 or 12 other guys, saying, you have a sphere of influence. You have churches that are really looking to you and your friends partnering together. Although you are a part of New Frontiers, which is the initial network, we want to tell you to start your own network in your own generation, in your own day. Because the man who started New Frontiers, Terry Virgo, you'll see a picture of him a little earlier. He's in his 80s. He understands that he did what God's called him in his day to do. And so he commissioned 15 other men to do it. P.J. Smythe is one of them. And I joined God First, which was the network of churches in Johannesburg, as Advance, this movement of churches, started out. So it's about 5 years old. And 5 years down the line, there are about 75 churches worldwide that are partnering with Advance, which I think is a pretty amazing thing. People that feel that they're like-minded. 75 churches are in existence that are part of Advance. I think there's a fancy map. Yeah, there we go. You can see they're scattered across Africa, Europe, and North America. And we are one of them. And there are about 25 church plants in the brewing that are about to happen or have just started. I'll talk more about church planting in a second or two. But by that stage, when all 25 are planted over the next couple of months, hopefully not years, we'll be on 5 continents. And so already from the start, you see Advance has got quite an influence internationally. It's not something that's just in South Africa. It's not something that's just in North America. It's all over. And I want to share with you just a big idea of advance. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. People have argued over what to call the book of Acts. We say Acts, but it could be the Acts of the Apostles, or it could be the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Either way, the apostles would tell you, yeah, it's not us, it's the Holy Spirit that worked through us. But whichever one you choose, stuff happened. That's why it's called Acts. There was action. And in Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus speaks to the apostles. He speaks to his disciples. And he basically tells them what's going to happen. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. And that's really the idea of advance. And if you look at the book of Acts from about chapter 2, 3, all the way up to chapter 28, 28 chapters span about 30 years. And it's a little slow out of the starting blocks. The first 10 years, the church was pretty much just in Jerusalem. And they were figuring it out. What does it mean to be a local church, a community of faith? The Spirit of God has come, and they were figuring out that Gentiles are now included in this process as well. And as soon as that happened, persecution came, hardship came, because actually the church was stuck in a rut, Jerusalem only. And Jesus said, I want you to go into all of Judea and Samaria. And so and the Holy Spirit orchestrated some events to help people see it's not just the Jews in Jerusalem. And persecution hit that church. And it was the best thing ever because the church had to flee. They had to run. They scattered into all of Judea. And so you see, for the next 20 years, this takes place. Judea, Samaria, and other parts of Europe into Africa, the known world, and that generation for those 30 years got to hear the gospel. It was an incredible thing. And us, as a network of churches under the banner of Advance, we believe that it's every generation's job to fulfill this incredible commission, to go into all the world, to preach the good news, for it to be in our Jerusalem, which is Ajax, Pickering, our Judea, which is the GTA, or our Samaria, which could be the surrounding towns, and Ontario, and all the other provinces, all of Canada. We prayed that prayer this morning, that Canada would come to Christ. You know, while we see in the news that kingdoms like the United Kingdom, they at least have the word kingdom in their name, the UK, they've decided to leave the European Union. It seems like they're saying, no, we want to be on our own. We want to, we don't want to expand. We want to actually shrink in a sense. That's how all the young people in England, that's how they feel. And so we see this happening in the world where kingdoms are divided, but actually the kingdom of God is still ever expanding. And Advance is a kingdom advancing movement where we want churches to be planted, churches to be strengthened. Let me read you our mission statement. This is the mission statement of Advance. Advance is a global movement, 5 continents, 75 churches today, 25 about to be planted. A global movement of churches that partner together. So we don't necessarily partner with a team. We partner with churches. That's what I love about this movement. Might not be relevant to you, but to some, this could be intriguing. But often movements are built around leaders, and it's one of our values. We want to recognize leadership, men like PJ and guys around him who have real leadership gifting to lead us. But it's churches partnering with churches. It's not a church partnering with a bunch of leaders. It's actually churches doing the work in their regions that are similar to us and that we partner with. Why? To advance the gospel, it's gospel-centered, through planting and strengthening churches. We know that some churches needs to be planted, in areas where there are no churches, in areas where we need more churches. But then there are some churches that need strengthening. They're battling, they're struggling a little bit, they've taken their eye off the ball, they have lost focus, they've lost energy. And we come alongside them to strengthen them as well. So it's both planting and strengthening. There's a lengthening and a strengthening that takes place in Advance. And that's why it's important for you to know this. It's important for you to know that City Gates is not just all about us, about our Sunday meeting, about us feeling comfortable, our personal needs being met, but we as a leadership team, and we want you to be in on it as members, as people who serve in various contexts here, whether you serve coffee at the back or you set up beforehand, you tear down afterwards, we want everyone to be part on this journey to help advance the gospel through strengthening and planting other churches. We give towards Advance as a movement. And the Global Fund is currently funding about 11 to 12 international plants. Plants where people aren't able to sustain themselves in those contexts. So the money that we give, your faithful giving through these avenues we've spoken of early, actually are going to real Kingdom Advance moments where churches are being planted. So we've set that money aside. We've not been able to give it, but it's thousands of dollars ready to be given as soon as they figured out how we can legally move money from our charitable status to that in Advance. And so because we're a young movement, those things aren't in place, but that money that is there is money that will help fund international church plants in slum areas and areas that are economically poor and challenging. So this is very exciting, and that's why I want you to be a part of it. I want to play you one or two videos. These are new friends. The first video you'll see are new friends that we've made. Mike and Edwina were actually down in South Africa at the Global Conference last year, March, was it? And you would have prayed for them, you would have met this couple. They were about to go into Wales to plant a church. They have now done that. This is a follow-up video. And I would love for you to be a part of it and just to see how they're doing it. And maybe as you watch this, you think, I want to go. Who knows? So you can go check them out, Hope Church Rhonda, rhonda.org.uk in Wales. It was actually, there was an amazing moment where they prayed in Welsh. I actually haven't heard someone speak, like, you know, a whole bunch of sentences strung together in Welsh as well. And I've been to Wales before. I think I've seen some of what those small communities are like. One of the amazing things that Ben shared here as we prayed for them in the UK while they were there is that there are these 30 communities, and he trusts that in the next 30 years that there would be churches planted in all 30 of these villages in the Rhondda Valley, and that nobody would have to walk far to get to a gospel-centered church where the name of Jesus is proclaimed, that everybody has got access walking distance from a... That's an incredible vision. That's what they have for the Rhondda Valley. They are saying what we're saying. God, do it in our day. If the first 30 years in the book of Acts was the ends of the earth hearing the message of Jesus through men and women like you and me, ordinary people, then so be it for them as well. And I think that's incredible. And maybe as you heard this, you thought, man, I would love to go and support them. I would love to spend 6 months there, maybe move there, maybe find a job there. That's what we're all about. We don't have a tight fist, closed hand where we're saying, no, please stay here at City Gates. We don't want you to go. We do want you to go. If it's not going to your neighbors, it's going to the nations. But either way, we're going. All of us are going in some form or another. So if you were stirred by that, hey, come and speak to us. Find out more about them. Visit their website. Pray for them. It's pretty exciting. And then there's another couple that are a bit closer to home. They are members of Alan and Ronell's church. Alan and Ronell have a really warm, long-standing relationship with this church. They've been in through this church annually, ministering here for the last probably 8 years, seven years. And so they are about to plant in Thailand. But I won't steal their thunder. This is the next video.
Hi, my name is Daniel Yu.
So it's very inspiring, isn't it? You know, Daniel was sharing the story that actually when he was telling his parents that he feels God's calling them back to Thailand, back to the East, his parents were pretty upset because they had given everything to bring them as kids over to America. Can you see that how the kingdom of heaven, it operates differently to the standards in the kingdom of this world? And, you know, their parents sacrificed everything to bring them across to America and to give them an education. And they feel the call of God saying, actually, like when Jesus said, you know, I've come to, in a sense, turn fathers against sons. If you love me, you know, if Jesus said that you need to love me more than your family. This is what it means to love Jesus more than our families. And of course, there's a great relationship there, and they understand that this is eternity that is at stake. But so encouraging. And then don't you love the faith component here? It's like 20 people are coming with us. But could you pray that more would come? It's almost like 20 people are willing. Hey, I can't wait for Eleanor to come with us to the Rhondda Valley. Hey, Eleanor? Oh, there you go. Maybe God's speaking. I don't know. Or it's a coincidence. Someone said this week that when they pray, more coincidence seem to happen. It's like a lot of people think, oh, no, it's not God. It's just coincidences. But actually, when we pray, we find more coincidences taking place. And so I love this faith statement. Yeah, we don't think that 20 people are enough, you know. Leave America, you know, move into a really difficult part of the world, different language, different culture, but yeah, could more people come. I love that. And so do pray for them. Remember the three prayers was one, that they would have Christ form the team that's going to go. Number two is that there would be work opportunities, doors that would open for people to sustain themselves as they move there. Number three, more people to go, and then that worship component, that music would be a key to liberate people that are in darkness and are joyless, and so that they would have someone help them. If you want to follow up on this kind of stuff, you can go to advance-magazine.org. It'll be released, I guess, twice a year, maybe 3-4 times a year, and you can see where this... it's an interactive website. A lot of people think that's me. For some reason, it isn't me praying. But if you go to contents, you can be up to date with anything. There's some great articles there. The video that we just saw, you can watch there again. Church planting into Thailand, the conferences that are taking place. That's PJ, by the way, who heads up Advance. There's a church planters course. If you feel God stirring you, perhaps church planting is something that you should do down the line. There are incredible resources that we have. It's a 2-year correspondence course. I've been a part of that as well. Very helpful. Good for marketplace guys. You don't have to be full-time ministry to do it. They've set it up so that you could run this course, do this course while you are doing your day-to-day business and the other responsibilities that you have. Okay, so go check it out, advance-movement.org. And you'll be able to see all the stuff for yourself and stay up to date. So we attended the global conference. Every year, Advance church leaders and church members from all over the world gather together in one place. And they're rotating it over three continents at the moment. South Africa, that's where Mike and Edwina went beginning of last year. It was in England, the United Kingdom. After this whole Brexit thing, who knows if it'll ever be there again. But it was in England this year. We attended that. And the good news is that next year, the global will be in North America. It will happen in Washington, D.C., which means that many of our city gators would have an opportunity to go. More about that a little later. But we attended the Global Advance Conference. I just want to look at my notes so that I don't go over my time. And the first thing that we attended was just a smaller gathering of leaders that represent various hubs. Now, hub is a term that we use for a collection of churches in a region. So far, there's a Canadian hub, and the one church in that hub is City Gates. So we were representing City Gates. Yeah, for now, I trust that we will grow and that we'll plant churches ourselves and that we will have more people join us. But we attended that. On the right, there's a man, Terry Virgo. He's the one I referenced earlier who have led New Frontiers for 40 years or so, and then he's commissioned young guys like PJ to start movements like Advance. He was sharing there. There's a guy called Andrew Wilson on the right here. He's a phenomenal theologian, great author. He's been featured on BBC many times and debated with guys like Rob Bell over theological matters. And so it was really amazing to sit under that teaching. A lot of the church planting news and praying for these couples that are heading to Thailand, that are in the Rhondda Valley, and other regions. It was wonderful to be able to gather around them, pray for them, and to learn as well. And so that was the initial part. And then we got to see some extended family. When I say extended family, I'm not talking about people that are blood related to me and Tanya, but people that are part of the kingdom of God, relationships that we have acquired and have benefited from over these last few years, and we've been able to reconnect with some people. I want to share this with you because I think you might think this is not relevant to me. So yeah, Vic is gone and he saw some old friends. That's nice, but how does that change my life? Mark chapter 10. It's been the last month or two. This has been such a revelation to me. This is Jesus. He said this, "Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left houses or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, of course, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." And, you know, I've always read this and thought, yeah, okay, I get it. We give up for the sake of the gospel, and then, you know, one day in heaven, it'll all be worth it. But Jesus said that he who has given up, just think of that, house, brother, sister, mother, father, children, lands, countries, for the sake, will receive a hundredfold win in heaven. No, also in heaven, but in this time. I've looked at that and I thought, how does that work? And, you know, for me, that scripture has come to fruition the last couple of years. Because we've done that. We have given up mothers and fathers. My parents-in-law have given up children for the sake of the gospel. When my second child was born, Amber, she was 2 weeks old. And Winton and Ingrid, which my parents-in-law, Tanya's parents, moved down to the Cape to take over a struggling church. They were starting to... It was actually more like a church plant because there was like 6 or 7 people, really. But they left their family, lived in Johannesburg all their life. Tanya has never been further than a stone's throw away from her parents. Her and her mom are literally best friends. We're so excited to see them in a couple of weeks. They're coming to spend a month with us. But they gave up children for the sake of the gospel. And in our sense, we didn't say, "Oh, please stick around. We've just had our second one. We need you." We've given up parents. I have moved away from my parents that I've come here. As we've come to you, and we've obviously given up parents. And I don't want this to make a Vic and Tun show, but I want to tell you about the reality of this promise in my life. And my children have given up grandparents so that they could follow the call of their parents to another nation. And it seems cruel. And the world thinks, how could you do that? How could you take your kids away from their grandparents? How could you do that? And we hear and we listen to our children. My kids have more adult friends than other kids in their classes and schools. Like young men like Ryan and Brian that I want to expose my sons to. I want them to learn from them. They've got grandparents and people like Mike and Edwina that have literally adopted them, taken them in like grandparents. So they've given up grandparents, but they've gotten way more. When we left the one context, we took them out of school to the other side of Johannesburg. For 3 years, we led a church before we moved here. It was the same story. Out of school, lose all my friends. They made new friends. They're still friends. They still Skype them. They made new friends in the school that they've been going to for 2 years now in Canada. They're moving school again because they had to. We had to move. But they understand that when we give up friends, we get friends. They get it. They see the gospel at work. When I've given up friends, I gain friends. I cannot believe the amount of friendships that we formed for 3 years in a brand new foreign context. We knew no one. No one knew us when we took on the church. Much like when we arrived in Canada. We knew no one and you did not know us. And within 3 years, we formed friendships and relationships that will never fade. And so when we were in the UK, some of them have moved on to... we could reconnect with them. And so, I mean, this is just a bunch of guys. I conducted the wedding ceremony for 2 of them. One of them have just had a baby. 2 of these men here have been on my senior leadership team. They're like, well, elders for me. And it's just incredible to see them now in the UK advancing the gospel. There, God has moved them on from South Africa to England. We're in Canada. We could reconnect. But these kind of friendships are because of what Jesus said. I have these friends because I was willing to give up other friends that I've never lost. I haven't lost my other friends. I've gained new ones. And I want to leave this with you, saying maybe you've been hesitant to give up for the sake of the gospel. Jesus said, in this life, you will get more. In this life, it will come back to you 100-fold. And then you still have heaven to look forward to. Take him at his word. Give it up, because you get it then. Here's another example of this couple spent 6 months in South Africa with us in our church context. And then moved back to the UK, worship leader couple. And they drove an hour just to come and see us for like a little lunch. The next day they were heading to Holland to do some shows there. They're musicians. But these are the kind of friends that are willing to give things up to see us. And that's the kind of friends that we can have. The extended family that we can have. You may see someone on the on the screen there. Oh, Rhondda Valley in Wales. His name's Ben. The other guy's name's Daniel, going to Thailand. I'm never going to see them again. Really? I would love for you to. I would love for you to meet them. I would love for us as a church to hop on a plane and go to Thailand, to hop on a plane and go to the Rhondda Valley and be a support. I would love to send one of our members for 6 months, maybe fund them to be a blessing in another context. You may think, oh, I'm never going to know them. You may very well be, but you have to be willing to give up the comforts of home. You have to be willing to give up the friendships and the family members here. Not because God hates family, because He wants to give you more family, right? This is the bit part where amens or yes, I agree with you. Maybe a little bit of kickback would be great. And then we had a global conference, open to any and everybody from all over the world. And it was great. I got to play electric guitar again. I don't play that often. Led worship there, and then we sat on the phenomenal teaching as well. We were inspired to come back and make a difference. So I want to share with you just a couple of great quotes. Is that okay? From that time. I can't give you the gist of it, but these one-liners, maybe you can take them down. I don't have them on the screen. I'm sorry. Just a couple of quotes, and then we are done. A guy who planted a church in Dar es Salaam, Sheshi Kaniki. He had some Canadians in his church for 3 years, helping them plant. They've just moved back to Toronto. We're having dinner with them tomorrow night. Who knows where that relationship will end up. Some of you are mutual friends with them here in this church. But the guy who leads the church, he said this, even a young church can be involved in a church plant. And it doesn't sound that profound. But then he gave this illustration that most moms have all their children when they're young. Like you in your 20s, and you just pop them out. That's what we did. 2 years gaps, we just pop them out, one after the other. Because it just makes most sense that actually you do that. And I was so encouraged by that, because we're in a new season. Although this church is 20 plus years old, actually with us having come led it, and we've changed some things, we're still in a period of transition. And it's easy to say, yeah, one, maybe 5 years down the line, when Vic and Tan have settled, and we've gotten to know them, and their roots are down deep, now we can think about planting churches. Now we can think about helping other churches. That's not what a young mom thinks. You know what? Just let this little one, you know, 15, 16 year old, or actually when they can start wiping their own backsides, then I'll think about having another baby. No, often it's immediately. It just makes sense. And I'm so encouraged by that. This church, although we're still in transitions, there's a lot of new things still that we've experienced. Doesn't mean we don't have to plant. Doesn't mean we don't have to dream big. Doesn't mean we cannot influence the rest of Ontario and regions beyond. Andrew Haslam, good friend of mine, he leads a church. He planted it about a year and a half ago in London, central London. He said this, the only way to reconcile pastoring and evangelism, because both are needed in a church, but often churches are stuck in one or the other. Churches are either great pastors and they stay a certain size because everybody loves everybody to death, literally. Or they just evangelize, and it grows, and there's a lot of people that join the church, but because the pastoring muscle is so weak, they leave the church again because they find somewhere else where pastoring happens really well. So people get saved, the church doesn't grow because the new people aren't necessarily cared for. And so you have pastoring, the church doesn't grow because there's no new converts, and then you have evangelism overemphasis, a lot of new converts but no pastoring, and so it's a revolving door and it doesn't grow either. He said the most effective way to do pastoring and evangelism is to be gospel-centered. And that's our value as a church. When we say helping people find and follow Jesus, the Jesus component is that we're gospel-centered. Every passage, his name's in light in the front of the stage. Every Old Testament verse, we find Jesus in the scriptures. Every problem that you have, we point you back to Jesus in the gospel. We counsel you around the gospel. You are making mistakes in your life because there's an aspect of the gospel that you're not obeying. And if you're not a Christian, if I'd speak to you like that, oh, you would respond to the gospel. And if you are a Christian, you are pastored in the process. So the only way that we can do pastoring and evangelism at the same time, the way we can grow with new converts and everybody still feel loved and cared for, is to have the gospel at the center. It's a profound thing. And it's a new church plant. And so he's seen this in action. And he said the best growth is self-replicating growth. People who bring their friends. Here's another thing about being gospel-centered. When we preach messages here on a Sunday that's centered around the gospel, you're going to go, man, Jack needs to hear this. Like, it's good for me, but it's good for my friend who does not know Jesus. And you'll bring him. And you know when you bring your friends, we share the pastoral load. Because guess who will be looking out for your friends? You. Because they're your friend. It's such a simple strategy, but that's how it works. When you bring your friends, you help us as a leadership team pastor them because they're your friends and you love them and you look out for them. But if you expect them to come through adverts and from walk off the street, actually there's not necessarily this relationship connection, and all the pastoring weight lands on the small core team. And we get burnt out and tired, but the solution is you're responsible for your friends. Hey? And when you have a gospel-centered church, you want to bring your friends. And so it just works. It's God's way. Let's do this together. Another quote. Stefan Rein. He leads a church in Cape Town. He said, "Leadership is a call to be an example, not to be an exception." We often think that only the exceptions can lead. It's only people with a loud mouth like Vic or with confidence like Mike. Those are the kind of leaders. Actually, the Bible says leaders are ordinary people that are willing to be an example, not the exceptions. So you can do it. He also said the most effective way to love and care for people is to love God more than you love those people. Because then you'll speak the truth, because you love them. But you have to love God more. It's what they said of Jesus. They came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, you're not like everyone else. You don't really care about what people think about you." And it's true. Jesus cared about people, but he cared about God more than the Father, more than the people. And so he was willing to be honest and truthful with them. And he also said, we are funnels, not fountains. We are not the source. We're just funnels. We're just conduits. And that gives you hope, because you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be available. Hey, you're just a funnel. All you have to do is channel the Spirit of God. What God has done and wants to be doing, he wants to do it through you. Just be a funnel. You don't have to be the fountain. You don't have to be the source. You're not the spring. That's okay. These are encouraging things, hey? Terran Williams, he's a phenomenal evangelist. He just looks at somebody and they ask him, "How should I become a Christian?" He's just one of those kind of guys. And he said this, "The gospel always comes to us on the way to someone else." Quickly do a stock take. Has the gospel come to you and then there's this full stop? Is it the end of the sentence or is it a comma? It's like it came to you, but the sentence is not done, so that it can go to someone else. It comes to us on the way to someone else. There's a few more. I'll just share the one. PJ left me with this question. What does it look like for City Gates? I just put City Gates in there. To pull back the bow before we shoot an arrow again. I went for batting practice on Thursday night. Me and a few other guys here, we needed to be better on the baseball field. And so we paid a professional to help us swing, help us bat. And one of the things he said is you've got to load before you swing. You watch all these batsmen. Please don't look at my form. But it's like anything, like tennis. What do? You load before you serve. Golf swing, you load before you. There's always this. What does it look like for City Gates to load, to take the bow and pull it back before we shoot our first arrow, maybe into the Rhondda Valley, shoot our first arrow, maybe into Oshawa, into Peterborough, hey? What other areas? Hamilton, I mean, downtown Toronto. What does it look like for us to do this? And that's the question that we're asking as a team, is what does this look like? Because I want to shoot. But if we don't load, it's going to be pretty pathetic. And so we're going to be pulling the bow back this next year. You'll see that we'll be strategic in terms of leadership investment and our evangelism with the Alpha course that's coming. Those are all strategies where we are pulling the bow back. One of the things is prayer. Man, I don't want to be a church with a prayer meeting. I want to be a church that prays. Right? And so much. All of these things are founded upon prayer. Not clever strategies, but prayer. Prayer is part of the strategy. And you'll see that we're going to make some changes to our meeting rhythm so that we could be a praying church, because praying is part of this pulling the bow back, because we're going to be releasing. We are going to be seeing more small groups planted, more people come to faith, and other churches planted and strengthened through this context. I know. That's a promise God has given us. We can have babies, even though we're still young. We're still in transition, right? Yes. Okay, so those are just a few great quotes. I better come to an end here. I won't tell you about our time up in in Newcastle. We also went up, helped another church there. This couple leads the church. We spent time with their eldership team. This couple over here, by the way, they married my wife and I 14 years ago, nearly 15 years ago. Now, how amazing is that? They gave up that relationship with us to go to Alan Frau's church 14 years ago. And we were close. We asked them to marry us. They discipled us. And we tried to see them for maybe 10, 12 years. We could not get to North America. And in the last few years, God has given back. They've given up friendship. We've given up. We were able to minister together. We were together in a church. I led worship. He preached. Did a parenting thing together in the afternoon. So encouraging. That's another example of he who gives up things for the sake of the kingdom gets them back in this life. Okay. We were in the real Durham region. That's Durham Cathedral, by the way. You can see that's Durham Castle. So where it all began. And you know what's so amazing? I'm walking through Durham Castle, Durham Cathedral, and I bump into John Thompson, who leads C4 Church in Ajax. What's up with that, man? So we connect, and we like exchange details. We're going to do coffee when he's back. He's on sabbatical. But that's another God connection. Who would orchestrate that? In the real Durham in England, another person who leads a church in our context, in Ajax, walks past me. Come on. When I pray, it just seems like more coincidence happen than not. Huh? That's a sovereign God. So I want to invite you to join an advanced conference. In September, it's in North Carolina, advancedmovement.com. You can find all the details. Early registration is $99. They've worked with deals with local bed and breakfasts and so on. All the information's on there. I would love every city getter to go. But if not everyone, at least 10 or 15. Let's try. Let's try. Make a holiday of it. You don't have to be at church the Sunday after September the 30th. Okay, I'm giving you a free pass. You can be on the beach somewhere in North Carolina. I'm fine with that. But join us. Join us in September if you can. And then the following year, it's in North America in Washington, D.C. Okay, I don't think it would take this long, but are you inspired and encouraged by some of these things? And do you realize that we're not alone? We're not alone. And I'm so excited about this journey into the future. Let me pray. We'll take some communion on our way out into the foyer. Lord God, thank you that you have called us to be effective in our day, to live out the book of Acts in our generation. And we don't want just to be a fancy presentation and something that is on our website, but help partnership to have integrity, real meaning. And so I pray that it's not just something that the leaders do, but that each and every one of us would partner together with other churches in our movement Advance for the sake of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.